Colossians chapter 1, verse 15. He, that's Jesus, is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things were created by him and before him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. And we'll leave it there just for the moment. I was thinking about time, and glancing at the clock. Time, it's very strange. I struggle a bit with time, not being on time, but just the concept of time, the fourth dimension of what mathematicians and physicists would tell you. There are millions, there's an infinite number of dimensions, and these days they'll say there's an infinite number of universes. Well, I struggle with one, really. One is enough. And the whole idea of time, it's all a bit strange, isn't it? It's elastic somehow, and if you bring the human mind and the human memory, at least my memory, into it, then it becomes even more difficult. Einstein talked a lot about time. I don't think he described it as elastic. Perhaps he missed a trick there. But I was thinking back to the 15th of January 2012, and that was the week after Mark had preached his last sermon here and given his farewells. And I was speaking on that day, the 15th of January, and I told the story of how all the different ministers, the three ministers that we'd had, had been called. And all of them were remarkable stories. And now we can add Stephen's to that as a remarkable story, as how God has worked outside of the system to bring people to lead this church. And we read that same passage in Colossians chapter 1 and reminded ourselves that Jesus is the head of the church. He is in control. And at that time, we had nothing to fear, we had nothing to worry about, because he is the head of the church. Not me, not any of the elders, not even Stephen. Jesus is the head of the church, the head of the body. And he is in control. And I suggested then that there was a new chapter that was starting. Not a chapter that would start when the new minister came, but a new chapter that would start then and that was going to run through the pastoral vacancy. And I don't expect you remember a word of this, but I do. And I remember it very well. And as I look back at then, it seems, well, yesterday almost, not quite yesterday, but it seems no time at all, 2 years just gone. Amazing. And yet, when I look at everything that's happened in those 2 years, it makes it seem a long way off, because so much has happened. And a chapter was truly written during that pastoral vacancy. God did a lot amongst us and in us. The pastoral vacancy wasn't, as it were, a blank page just leading into the next chapter. Because God led us into new things. He led us into brunch. He led us into Martha's Place, the cafe that meets here Wednesdays and Saturdays. He led us into the growing leaders course that's ongoing. He led us into the Olympic Fun Day and then the other Fun Day that followed on last year, and into, more recently, Easter parties and ladies' party evenings that hundreds, literally hundreds of people have come to from out in the community who wouldn't otherwise have come into the church at all. But it's not all been plain sailing, and I think many people will realise that. We have lost a few people since that time, back in 2012. A few were unhappy and have left. We've lost a lot due to retirement and job changes and so on, and all of them go and went with our blessing. But I feel that in this time, God actually has been drawing us together as a church, especially in the last few months, towards the end of last year. But he was doing a work in us, and he's been pulling together what in effect is a new people for him, a younger people. And Stephen perhaps is the evidence of that, that he's been brought. And it was with some dismay I realised only a few weeks ago that he was just about half my age. Fortunately, he's had a birthday this week, so it helps a bit. But God has drawn together, I believe, into the church at this time, as it were, a new church, a new beginning, a foundation for what he wants to do in the future, in the next chapter. And I've seen it happen before here, that God has brought in new people, young people, and they have, in effect, been the future of the church. And for the rest of us, that might sound a bit threatening. But actually, I find it very exciting. And I want to be part of it, even if it's much about younger people and drawing younger people into the church. I want to be part of it. I want to see what God is doing and pray into it and be involved as much as I can. And I hope that that goes for everybody, irrespective of your age, irrespective of how many years you've been here. Mark said in that final sermon, 8th of January 2012, he said, "The best is yet to come, Bronwyn." Do you remember? Perhaps you remember him, but you don't remember me. "The best is yet to come, Bronwyn." And he meant it. He didn't mean the pastoral vacancy. He meant now. The best is yet to come. I believe, it seems to me, that God is doing something new, that he's put in place a new foundation for a new work. And an important part of where we've got to has been the series in worship that we've had since the beginning of this year. And that's been really good. And a lot of people have said how much they've enjoyed it and how much they feel that they're much more part of the church, that that has helped to bring us together. And I think that's true. A few weeks ago, I was down to preach, and I was moved aside for a visitor. I think it was, Steve Thompson who came? And he came and he spoke for the first time. And for the avoidance of doubt, I was delighted to stand up. And I'm sure you were as well. He spoke to us on the when of worship in our series. When should we worship? And he quoted a former minister of his, who said that worship is giving God everything all of the time. And that echoes in Romans 12, chapter 2, where Paul says, "I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship." We give ourselves to God, all that we are and all of the time. And we started the year on worship with our Everyday with Jesus notes, and they started in Revelation 5. And we went back into Revelation a number of times in the course of the last few months. But Revelation 5, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honour and glory and praise." The worship of heaven. And we sung earlier, "Can you see the multitudes dressed all in white and bringing their praise to God and singing praise and glory and wisdom and thanks and honour and power and strength be to our God forever and ever. Amen." And that is worship to come, isn't it? That is what it's going to be like in heaven for all eternity and for all who know and love the Lord Jesus. Do you look forward to it? Are you excited at the prospect of it? And just as a little aside, if you're not sure that you're going to be part of that worshipping community in heaven, then do come and speak to me afterwards, or speak to Stephen or one of the other elders, and we'd love to pray with you. But that's our future in heaven, praising and worshipping the Lord. But it is our future. It's not yet. It is worship to come, but not yet. But in the last few months, we've enjoyed some great worship, I think, anyway, and others have said the same, where we've had actually little glimpses into what it's going to be like to worship together in heaven. Just that glimpse, as it were, behind the curtain. That's what it's going to be like, and that's wonderful. And through the time of the pastoral vacancy, I believe that people have offered themselves as living sacrifice in serving God in new ways and in new things within the church. But that's all in the past. The past has gone, and we can't worship God in the past. And the future has yet to come. And all that we have is now. All that we have is today. And to put it starkly, there may be no tomorrow for some of us or all of us. We do not know. It's in the Lord's hands. And all that we have is today. We have no other time to worship. And we started our service with, "Now is the time to worship." We sang it. We all sang it together. Thank you, Andrew. And we're going to sing it again in a little bit. Now, today is the time to worship, because this is the only time we have. Now is the time to give our all, to be the living sacrifices, and commit to being part of what God wants to do here at Bromham. But it is a decision. We all have a choice. We all have a decision to make. Do I want to be part of that? Do I want to write with God that new chapter together under God's guidance and with Stephen's help? Richard Green, who spoke last week, said, "This congregation is like a powder keg ready to explode in the purposes of God," as an encouragement for us. He said, "Everybody has a part to play and to go on playing in this wonderful fruitfulness of the kingdom, sowing seeds no matter how small, because it's God who brings the increase. Now is the time to worship with everything that we are and all of the time. Now is the time to worship. So let's be part of God's great plan for this church, for the surrounding area, and for his wider kingdom today." Let's pray. Father, we do thank you for all that is past, all that there has been in the life of this church, all the ways that you have moved, for the people that you've used, for the blessings that you've brought, for the salvation that you have brought to many. We bless you for the past, and we look forward with eagerness to the future in heaven with you, where we shall see you as you really are. But we also look forward with excitement to see what you're going to do. And we thank you for those words of encouragement brought by Richard, and back those 2 years by Mark and by others too, words of prophecy. And Lord, we look to you to bring those to being, to bring them to life. For we want to live for you, and we want to give the glory to you. Amen. And as we come to communion, then there's going to be a chance, as we share in the bread and the wine, just to ponder on what I've said, what that means for you. What does it mean for you that now is the time to worship? What is God saying to you that he wants you to be in this church in the days ahead? And as we share in the bread and the wine, we can remember and think on his sacrifice for us. For the Lord our God is committed to us. Reading on in Colossians, God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, in Jesus, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross.